WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Fun Friday. And it's getting louder out there as they are pumping out this tank here from the 99 in front of me. Again, apologies. There's not much I can do about it, except I guess I could pot it down when I'm not speaking, but I have to speak quite often. So again, apologies. I know it can be loud, but hopefully you can still hear me okay. And sometimes when this happens, people can't hear it at all anyway. So maybe that's the case with you. Anyway, it is Fun Friday, brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs on Tarkin Hill Road in New Bedford. And, of course, you can go on over there and get two hot dogs, chips, and a drink for $5. What better lunch deal is there than that? So, I think if you're going to have a lunch on a day like today, though, you want something that's going to be a little bit more, of a treat than just having, you know, your regular mustard and onion or however you normally take the hot dog. So, one of the new toppings that they have over there at Dee's is baked beans. You can actually put baked beans on your hot dog and have like basically a Frank's and beans right there in your hand. So I would say give that a try. If you are a Frank's and beans person, give that a try. But if you really want to kick it up another notch, they've got the celery salt, by the way. So I know that became like the number one thing. Everybody loved the celery salt. They've got that over at Dee's. But what I would do is I would do some chopped onions and the baked beans on top of the hot dog and then a drizzle of yellow mustard across the top. Because when I eat my Franks and beans, you know, I have my plate of beans and I put the couple of Franks on top of it and then I drizzle some mustard over all of that. So you could do that for your actual handheld hot dog from Dee's. So give that a try today, and then let me know what you think. Thank you, Chris. Chris says he can barely hear them cleaning out the trap, so okay. I'm glad that the mics have processing on them to keep some of the outside noise out, so glad that it's, and now they're stopping anyway. So the Fun Friday question today, because we lost George Wendt this week, and he played one of the all-time great supporting sitcom characters, Norm Peterson. As I mentioned, they made that super cut of every time he walked into the bar in every episode and said, you know, good afternoon, everybody, or evening, everybody. And everybody said, Norm. And then there'd usually be a follow-up kind of one-liner. They'd ask him, like, what was one of the ones was played quite a bit upon his passing is, Sam says, how's the world treating you, Norm? And he says, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. So we always had, like, a good one-liner like that, and they put them all together. So it just shows, you know, how they spent so much time crafting the right entrance for that character because it set the tone for all the jokes that were going to come. And what was interesting about it is, I watched this video of every single one, and they only repeated two of the jokes. One of them, they did a couple of different versions of it over the years, and then another one they outright repeated. Where I believe Sam said, how's the world treating you? And he said, not very well, hopefully, or it's not, maybe you are, or something like that. But And then, of course, there's always the classic one when Willith and Frasier have their young son. They're standing in the bar talking, and I think they were talking about how he hadn't said anything yet. And then Norm walks in. He says, you know, afternoon, everybody. And the baby just goes, Norm! And then Willith turns to Frasier and goes, he just said mama. But anyway, so who is the funniest TV side character? The funniest supporting character? I was a big fan growing up, you know, watching a lot of the old sitcoms on TV. I always liked Paul Lynde's Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Thought he was a very funny side character. Always liked when he showed up. Who were some of the other classic ones? Going back to that era. I mean, I think a lot of people would look at Eddie Haskell as a pretty funny character. But around the time of the 70s and 80s, the wacky next door neighbor character, that became kind of the trope. So that's where you know, Kramer was kind of like the prime example of that. But yet he was actually based on a real person that Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld knew. So there was some basis. That wasn't just constructing that character because, hey, we need the wacky neighbor character. But even people think that Kramer gave birth to the wacky neighbor idea, but there was every 80s show had the wacky next door neighbor. Or the wacky family member. Jesse wrote in and said, Karen Walker from Will and Grace and Jackie from Roseanne would be her two favorite choices for supporting characters. Yeah, that's a prime example right there. You've got, you know, what, a neighbor, and then you've got a family member. Like, that's, they would always look for that kind of outside character. I think Jerry Stiller in King of Queens. Like, that was a show where I thought to myself a lot of the times, this show isn't as funny as I think it is sometimes. But then almost every scene he was in would be hilarious. And same with Seinfeld. He basically just played the same character in both. But I think, you know, there's probably a lot of these that I'm forgetting or shows that maybe I didn't watch that you may have something to say about. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And of course, we can talk about whatever else is on your mind as well. As I mentioned earlier, I thought this was interesting. We're talking about this. We don't have the story up online because it came in after I left to go to my library talk. But they found a rabid bat in the area of Station 8 on Christian Avenue in New Bedford, the fire station there over near like the Morna Lounge and Cove. This bat that was discovered tested positive for rabies. And then one of the neighboring towns I saw put up a post that they had an animal in town that had tested positive for rabies. So it is a concern all the time, but maybe, you know, maybe we're having an outbreak of it in the area. So I would just suggest that, you know, if you put animals outside, keep an eye on them. I know a lot of folks like to let their pets run wild in their yard. You know, they keep it fenced in but so that the pet can't get out, but you're not thinking about what's getting in necessarily. And then the other problem with it, too, is I see a lot of these videos of people that that feed the animals that come into their yard. Or they put out food for the animals, and that's going to bring in other. So you might think, hey, I'm just feeding this squirrel that, you know, I made friends with over the years, and he comes back every day, and he eats peanuts out of my hand, and then, you know, in comes the rabid coyote because you put that food out, and now you've got problems. So just be careful, be aware, and be safe. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Boy, I just woke up and I got a bunch of good laughs from, that Governor Healey. Now she wants people. Oh, Trump's idea of closing the border is a good idea.
Oh, yes. Barry's article. Yep.
Yes, I was, oh my God, I was like, I was like fake clutching my pearls and about to faint like a Southern lady. I was, oh my God, I was just dying. But anyways, on to your thing. How about the classic Ed Norton from The Honeymooners?
Oh, perfect example, yeah.
That's, I mean, that's like, like TV in its infancy already had that goofy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I couldn't count the best sidekick. There's like so many of them.
And they, what's funny is, like, sometimes, as I was mentioning earlier, you might have missed it because, like you said, you just tuned in, but some of them were, like, became the star of the show. Like, I would say Norton started off as a side character, but became pretty much, you know, a co-lead. And, like, I was talking about Steve Urkel, you know, a guy who was supposed to be a character in one episode, and then the whole show became about him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did miss your first hour, but, like I said, I just woke up like maybe a half hour ago, so it took me a while to...
That's okay. It wasn't very good. You didn't miss much.
Well, usually sometimes I do catch you. I wake up early, but today was a little later in the sleeping schedule. But I had to call in. I said, that was like, he's the classic goofy neighbor from when TV first started. Well, I think TV shows were on in the 40s, but I think... TV exploded in the 50s.
Yeah, and certainly the Honeymooners became one of those shows that like kind of gave birth to the idea of reruns, that we could take these old shows and run them again. That and I Love Lucy and things like that, where a lot of those shows from the 40s, they didn't save them. They so you can't even watch them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a while ago. Milton Berle, I think he used to have a show, the Texas Road Show, or...
Oh, yeah, the Texaco, was it? Yeah,
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, and him dressing up as a woman, which I think was from the 40s. I know my father mentioned to me, like, many moons ago, and I've caught a couple skits, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, and learning, like... TV. I'm mostly watching new TV from like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, stuff.
It took TV a little while to find its groove in terms of the quality of stuff. Like a lot of people won't watch those older shows because the quality of the visual is so hard to see. You know, like it's the old tin type stuff. What did they call it? Begins with a K. I can't think of it. But that was the way that they kind of filmed those TV shows, and people watch it now and they say, oh, it gives me a headache because we're so used to these better techniques they developed in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, well, as everything ages, everything improves too, to a degree. I mean, if you look at movies, like the skits before with the silent movies,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then you had those little reels from what I remember, and then you had it evolved into silent movies and then the talkies, and you had black and white to color and
yeah,
I mean, all the technical stuff. You look at a movie that's produced in 2025 compared to way back when, that's what, about more than 100 years now.
And they thought talkies were going to be a fad. They thought they'd go away.
I know that's just so funny. Talkies are going to be a fad, and it's like, no.
People don't want to hear people talking in a movie. They want to read things on the screen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Hey, I just read through. Yeah, but if you the early silent movies, they didn't have like they had the talking on the screen, but not compared to like you have to read it subtitles nowadays. It takes a bit more to keep up.
Some of us have to read subtitles anyway on everything because, you know, we're not hearing as well on the TV. I get them on all the time, the closed captioning.
Oh, well, it takes you a little, you know, you really got to super pay attention to TV nowadays, where I think that the subtitles, or whatever they talked was like maybe one or two lines and
mm-hmm.
little action and... You know what I mean? It didn't seem to be the little that I've seen of the silent movies. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah, you had to emote more. You had to, you know, you had to be more, you had to give bigger expressions. Everything had to be a bigger performance. So, I mean, it's better because, you know, things got a little bit more subtle, but it's still fun to watch those old silent movies. Especially, I love the horror ones. They're so good.
Oh, well, never been quite into the horror, but the Rudolph Valentino and Mary Pickford. I mean, that's really going way back.
And you can watch a lot of them. They put a lot of them on YouTube because a lot of them are in public domain. So you can always find great old silent films to watch there.
Oh, I've never thought about that, but okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to...
I've kind of enjoyed, you know, while I was born in the 60s, and then by the time really watching 70s that I can remember, it's like, okay, I've watched a lot of the stuff.
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm going to hold you.
Like Gilligan's Islands, the Brady Bunch, and all that, you know.
So. Right. The classic, the real classic
now,
stuff.
You know.
I got to hold you there because I got to take a break, but you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
I got to take this break here, but we can talk more with you, 508-996-0500. We will be right back. So those people watching on the video I'm live streaming on my Facebook page, you don't know why I was dancing around in the studio, but that was Spice Girls, Wannabe. All right, well, you might want to be hearing the news. So you're like, shut up, Tim. I want to hear the latest from Mike Roberts, and we're going to give that to you right now.
A deadly plane crash in San Diego, a change on the warning label for COVID vaccines, and a stowaway found guilty in a New York courtroom.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The FAA says six people were on board the plane that crashed into a military housing neighborhood in San Diego yesterday morning. The Cessna 550 left New Jersey and stopped in Kansas for fuel before continuing on in foggy conditions. Eight people on the ground suffered minor injuries. The music agency Sound Talent Group reported three of their employees were killed in the crash. The FDA is ordering COVID-19 vaccine makers to expand their warning labels. They're telling Pfizer and Moderna to let people know about the risk of possible heart inflammation related to shots, especially in teenage boys and young men. Moderna's warning label now issues such a warning for males 18 to 24, while Pfizer's specifies 12 to 17. The new warning labels for both companies will specify ages 16 through 25. New York City will be holding a ticker tape parade for post-9/11 veterans next year. Mayor Eric Adams says the parade, called the Homecoming of Heroes, will pay tribute to the service and the sacrifice of post-9/11 combat veterans.
It will formally recognize the more than 2.9 million Americans who bravely served during the global war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan.
The parade in the Canyon of Heroes of Lower Manhattan will take place July 6th of next year. Adams says the parade will include members of numerous city and state agencies that had an impact after the 9/11 terror attacks. A study called Vital, touting the anti-aging benefits of vitamin D.
Dr. Joanne Manson, a preventive medicine expert at Harvard Medical School, tracked 50,000 people over 50 for 5 years and found that vitamin D supplements may help slow down biological aging by as much as 3 years. The study shows vitamin D seems to protect telomeres on your chromosomes that shrink as you age and are linked to heart issues, cancer, and other chronic medical conditions. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
The woman accused of sneaking onto a flight from New York's JFK to Paris last November is being found guilty. A Brooklyn federal jury convicted 57-year-old Svetlana Dali yesterday after she pleaded not guilty to a count of stowaway on an aircraft without consent. During her trial, she admitted she didn't have a boarding pass when she got on the fully booked Delta flight and hid in the bathroom for most of the trip. Dali was arrested again 3 weeks later after that on a Greyhound bus from Buffalo to Canada while out on bail. She now will face up to 6 months behind bars. President Trump says lowering the cost of drugs may end up being his most significant thing his administration will do.
And now they're going down maybe by 85, 89. I'm telling you, 89% in two instances, 89%. cut. Nobody's ever seen anything like it.
Speaking yesterday at a Make America Healthy event, Trump said the way he's challenging high drug prices will resonate for generations. He added the U.S. has been subsidizing the low cost of drugs in other nations, and that's going to stop. Last week, Trump signed an executive order aimed at slashing prescription drug prices. Memorial Day weekend travel rush is on. TSA regional spokesperson Dan Velez says the agency is ready.
Normally, when you have a holiday falling on a Monday, your Thursdays and Fridays prior to that Monday are always going to be very busy.
Peak crowds still expected today, with the FAA looking at record-breaking travel. Over 3.5 million people expected to get to their destinations by plane. Meanwhile, AAA estimating about 45 million Americans will hit the road, and that would break a previous record set in 2005. Family of the Menendez brothers say they're okay with the parole hearing delay.
Relatives of Eric and Lyle Menendez say they are actually welcoming a two-month delay in the brothers' parole hearing. They say it gives them more time to prepare a case in support of their release. The parole hearing had been originally set for June 13th, but that's rescheduled to August 21st and 22nd. The brothers had been serving life without parole until a judge resentenced them to 50 years to life. The resentencing makes them immediately eligible for parole because they were under 26 when they killed their parents. I'm Jim Roop.
WBSM Sports.
Yesterday's Red Sox game rained out. They'll play two today. Orioles are in town. First game at 1:35. Second of the split doubleheader is at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Not as soggy as yesterday was, but we are still looking at a couple of showers here, not just this morning, but a few lingering into the afternoon as well here on the South Coast. Temperatures chilly though, starting the day in the low 40s, and then by the end of the afternoon, we're only in the low and mid 50s. Things get better as we head into Memorial Day weekend. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And of course, the news is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the purple dot where you can try before you buy and where you can get everything that you need for your Memorial Day weekend. Whether it be, you know, if you want to get somebody a bottle, you know, maybe they're having a remembrance ceremony for someone and they're getting all together and you want to bring a nice bottle of wine to the event, or maybe you're going to have a cookout and you want to have those patio pounders, as they call them over there, or your favorite seltzer or beer, or maybe you're just in the mood to have a little whiskey this weekend. Well, whatever it may be, they've got it all over there at Stevie's, but they want to make you aware of their hours this weekend. So they're open regular hours today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So they'll be open till 8 tonight. They'll be open tomorrow 10 to 8, and they'll be open Sunday 10 to 6. And on Memorial Day, they will be open from 12 to 5. So you will be able to go on Memorial Day from 12 to 5 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, and the home of the purple dot. Anything that you see on the shelf that has a purple dot on the price, on the sticker, on the shelf, you can ask for a sample and you can try it before you buy it. And I have sampled many, many things over there and made a lot of great decisions based on being able to sample that. So if you are someone who considers yourself an educated palate when it comes to liquors and wines and beers, well, hey, Stevie's is the place to go. So just go in there and stop and check it out. When you drive by, you're like, oh, look at that cute little place. And then when you walk inside, it's actually really big and they've got a lot of stuff in there. So check it out. 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, and online at stevieswineandspirits.com. And make sure you follow them on social media too, so you can find out about all the great things they have coming up. Tastings and special events and all of that. All right. Well, today is also the final day to enter to win a pair of tickets to see Block Party at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. That is also brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They are the proud sponsor of Tim's Tickets here on the morning show. So if you are a fan of Block Party and you want to go to that show, head on over to WBSM.com or the WBSM app and enter to win. And while we're talking about contests, yes, we are still giving away a trip to Las Vegas to see the Eagles at the Sphere. And this is a special contest where we're going to give you the title of an Eagle song at 10 a.m., at 2 p.m., and at 5 p.m. And when you hear that, you go and you enter it at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app on the contest page, and you'll be entered to win a trip to Vegas. You're going to get two tickets to see the Eagles at the Sphere, their final run of shows ever. So you can get two tickets to the show. You're going to get airfare for two to get to Vegas. You're going to get a two-night stay at the Venetian and $500 in spending money while you're out there. And the Eagles Fly Away on WBSM is brought to you by the DeMello International Center in New Bedford and Tank Exchange. So lots of fun and lots of different concerts and events coming up this summer that we'll be giving away tickets to. This weekend is Boston Calling, so our lucky winners from the last couple of weeks will all get the chance to go tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Should be a good time, even if the weather is going to be a little iffy. To make you aware, they have made some changes to the Boston Calling stage setup. If you remember, they had the red and the green stage at kind of the main area. Well, they've combined that into one area now. And so it's a little bit more spread out to get from one act to another, which is kind of weird because there's only 5 minutes between some of the acts. But it's a little bit different setup. So if you are going to Boston Calling, make sure you download the Boston Calling app so you get a map to see all the different places where you can go, and you'll have a better idea of the new layout. And also what I love about it is you can go into the schedule part and just select who you want to see, and it will customize the schedule for you to see, you know, what your day looks like, and then can also give you alerts to let you know. So if you're like jamming out to some band that you weren't expecting to see, it'll send you an alert saying, hey, in 10 minutes, it's time to go see, you know, the Black Crowes or whoever. So that's some helpful information for you there. And really everything you're going to need for the weekend is there on the app. Speaking of on the app, on our app, we have a story, and also on our website, that yesterday the police department, New Bedford Police Department, put out a press release saying that over the last 3 weeks, and by the way, now that the pump truck has moved on, they are doing construction in the business next door to us, and they usually started it later in the afternoon, but I guess they've started it early today. So they're hammering and they're drilling and they're screwing things in, so you might hear that too. Can't do anything about that either. So they put out this press release, the police department did, saying that there's been 22 arrests downtown for unruly behavior in the last 3 weeks. If you remember, the city council had a meeting, Councilor Gomes and the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods, they had a meeting where they invited downtown stakeholders to come and talk about, you know, what they don't like about what's going on downtown. And a lot of them said since the police substation closed there, there's been a lot more vagrancy, and the vagrancy, you know, the people who are there are, I don't want to call them vagrants, but the people who are there committing the vagrancy, they're unruly. They're drinking, openly drinking on the street, getting into fights, getting into arguments, causing all kinds of problems. And it's keeping people from wanting to go down there and visit their businesses. So over the past 3 weeks, you know, I think the timing lines up pretty well with not only that meeting, but also the retirement of Chief Paul Oliveira and Assistant Deputy Chief Derek Belong now moving into acting police chief. I think they launched this initiative to try and crack down on what was going on in downtown. So 22 arrests, and they got, you know, these arrests took place for a variety of offenses, including assault and battery, disorderly conduct, and trespassing. And they said many of the individuals arrested were openly drinking in public. Some were trespassing in the nearby parking garages, police said. During one incident, an unruly group was being moved off Sirota property when one male threatened police and was being subdued when his girlfriend interfered and assaulted a police officer. Both were taken into custody and charged. But what's also important to note about this, too, is they're not just going down there and making arrests. They're also conducting outreach. So what they're doing is they're not only stepping up enforcement, according to Belong, but the department has also intensified its efforts of outreach. Our lead team, recovery coaches, and mental health counselors are on the street working beside officers and reaching out directly to those struggling with addiction, alcoholism, and homelessness. So they're not just trying to, you know, move these people out of sight by locking them up. They're trying to get them the help that they need. And I think that's commendable. And to be able to do that on both fronts, to enforce the law, but also have compassion, is what you want in your police department. Not everything is a black and white, you know, you broke the law, you're going to jail situation. And so now, you know, the fact that they're addressing it is going to be helpful. Hopefully, this becomes an unwelcome area for people to congregate. Hopefully, they feel like, hey, listen, we can't hang around here anymore. We're going to get moved along, which used to be the case when they had, you know, more frequent police presence down there, when they had the substation there. So I don't know how you feel about it, but I've seen a lot of comments from people on this story on social media that say, you know, it has become a more pleasant experience going through that area now because you don't have to deal with that stuff. I mean, I went to Smashed one day and just watched as two guys got in a fight outside and nobody did anything about it. So then the next time they have a scuffle, they're just going to do the same thing. 508-996-0500. So we have that topic we can discuss. And also today's Fun Friday question brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. They are the supporters of Fun Friday here on the show. And because we lost George Wendt, Norm on Cheers this week, I asked the question, who is the funniest supporting character on TV? We've got votes for Barney Fife. We got a vote for Ed Norton. I got a couple of app chat messages. We have Dennis says, I like Jim Parsons on The Big Bang Theory. I think he would count as would you count him as the lead? I think he started off as a supporting character, but he's one of those ones that became kind of more of the lead as well. And then we've got we got a vote here from Deb for Jim on Taxi. Yes, Christopher Lloyd was great in that role. Dave says two of my favorites were from Taxi, Danny DeVito as Louis De Palma and Christopher Lloyd as Reverend Jim Ignatowski. Both were great and also had parts in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And then we got another vote for the Fonz on Happy Days, who's another one who was a side character who then became kind of the star and the focus of the show. So I think that, you know, the funny characters end up becoming the focus after a while. But that's today's Fun Friday question brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. Right now, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we can take some more calls. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And you are waking up with us. And if you've been awake for a while, well, you're an early bird. And that makes you a perfect candidate to work for Tremblay Bus Company, helping kids get to school as a school bus driver, as a van driver, or as a monitor. If that's something that appeals to you, the idea of being able to help local kids get to school while earning good money, whether it be for a retiree or a stay-at-home parent or just somebody who needs extra money at a different part of the day than they're regularly working, it can fit into a variety of schedules and can make you good money while doing something good for the community. If you want to find out more about it, visit tbcbus.com for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. As far as the news on downtown, if they could arrest 22 people in a matter of weeks, it's been a long standing problem down there. And, you know, I don't know if they had to get permission from somebody to go out and actually enforce the laws. You know, but I'm glad to see it happening because it's a mess down there. If anybody has to spend any amount of time downtown, it's impossible to avoid. Like, it's everywhere.
Well, there might be a couple things going on there. One is, you know, you had this meeting where all the downtown business owners came and had their voices heard. And then so the city councilors will say to the police, we want you to do something about this. And the budget is coming up. So naturally, the police want to make sure that they get their budget funded. So they're going to say, OK, we're going to respond to this request from the city council. And then I think another part of it, too, is I'm just going to assume that Derek Belong wants to get the chief's job. And so I think he knows it'll look good for him if he can clean up a problem that's happening right outside the mayor's office every day. So I think that would, you know, that helps out as well.
Yeah. I mean, but why in the hell did it have to get to this point? If it was that easy to pick up 22 people in 3 weeks, they should have been doing that all the way along.
I just think they prioritized it where they didn't prioritize it before. They did over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to be in a car and be able to drive past it all the time, but having to live and work within that mess, it takes a toll on you. I worked downtown for a lot of years, and I can remember when COVID happened, when everything shut down. That's all you could see because nobody else was out there. The tourists weren't out there, you know. All you saw was the bums hanging out, and you know, people were taking over the parking garages downtown, like literally taking it over. Like, you'd have one guy posted down at the bottom step, you'd have one person upstairs, and they'd be taking customers all day long, you know. And what we do, we go in there and clean it up after them. But it's downtown, it's just a mess. It's like, it's embarrassing. My son doesn't even like to go down there, and we got to take the bus. He doesn't even like going down there anymore because he's seen people overdosing inside that terminal, you know, and you got to step over feces downtown. It's embarrassing.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised that they haven't required CERTA to have a guard there all the time. That's, you know, just moving people along from loitering. But
I've noticed that. But it's not a constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the police will be down there, and CERTA will have a contractor going around. But that's not a constant thing. I don't believe it is. I mean, I'm in Dartmouth now, but I can remember those years downtown. It was never a constant thing. But I'd like to see it be a constant thing because it's. Now they're taking over the post office, that whole road, that whole side of the road, that whole corner, that whole side of the building. They're taking over that, you know, they're taking over. And you got people with garbage bags hanging out at CERTA. So, you know, they're homeless. They're not just passing through. Yeah, they need to do something about it.
Oh, seems like they are. I got to just hold you there because I got to get one more break in.
But, and Red from that 70s show.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Oh, yeah. All right. You have a good day.
You as well. And it's funny because I just saw him. Somebody posted a photo with him from a Comic-Con or a convention. And they said, I finally met all of the RoboCop villains. Because, of course, he was Clarence Boddicker in the original RoboCop. Much different role than he was on that 70s show. All right, let me get this break in. We'll be right back. All right.